It is about 14, 13 and a half or so before 10 o'clock, and in the studio is none other than Norman Gilliland back from some peregrinations.
Not peregrinating very far, but it's a pleasant time to be peregrinating in this part of Wisconsin in particular.
It is. Well, you're here because it's the penultimate day of your employment at WPR. You're retiring tomorrow.
That is correct from an ear standpoint. That's right.
Mm-hmm. 42 years.
That's what it would be.
And I just wanted to mention you're going to have two live performers today. Not two, but multiple. You have a quartet coming today.
Yep. Four cellos. Count them. One, two, three, four. Four of a kind.
What's the name of the ensemble?
That'll be our full house, that four of a kind.
Chelcanto.
Chelcanto, yeah.
Clever name. And then tomorrow?
Tomorrow will be Ariella Bohrod, who returns after several months performing on the midday and coming to us from Paris, where she has been performing kind of as a base of operations there and in parts of the continent has been performing. So it'll be fun catching up with her, and she'll be performing for the hour. We'll have a studio audience and lots of things going on, hubbub.
How old was Ariella when she first came in to perform on your program?
Well, she won the final forte when she was, I have to do some quick arithmetic here, I'll probably get it wrong, in her teens, like 15 or something like that. And I can't remember when she first performed on the midday, but it wasn't. It must have been about that same time, actually.
You've been such an advocate and enthusiastic supporter of young performers here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You've been working with WISO, the Wisconsin,
yes,
Youth Symphony Orchestra. Those ensembles come on a pretty regular basis, don't they?
Yes, for some years now they've been coming in May in a combination, two or three different ensembles chosen by their mentors. Carl Levine of late, and also the oboist, Mark.
Mark Fink.
Fink, yeah.
Yeah. And I know you've just been a terrific supporter of young people, and I've seen you ask some of those performers to go to lunch with their families afterwards. Just
That doesn't happen too often, but it has happened. That's right.
If you've had time, you know, to squeeze it in and follow their careers as they progress, and that's a real legacy that you'll be leaving here.
I do hear back from some of them occasionally when they're in advanced parts of their young careers.
I'm thinking of Julian Rhee, who is here as an enfant. I don't want to say terrible.
Enfant magnifique,
yeah.
Let's say. Yes, and unfortunately, because of the timing, we couldn't have him on this time around, but that otherwise was a possibility. And of course, I hope that one of my successors will be able to bring him on and next time he's in the neighborhood.
We have a tote bag that is available for Norman fans that has an outline of the state of Wisconsin, and it lists a lot of the programs that you've been involved in producing and in some cases founding.
True, University of the Air and, the Midday, and also University Place Presents for television and old-time radio.
And you've done not just the production, but a lot of writing for some of those.
Yes, you might even say exhaustively at times, yes, by the grace notes alone, 735 stories. That took a little doing.
And two books of grace note stories. Mm-hmm. Those are still in publication. And
still out there, out and about.
Well, you know, you mentioned sometimes when we're doing a segue, and I might throw you something a little out there, and you'll always say, well, you know, my English majors has stood me in good stead.
Has. Yeah, it has indeed. Because it's communication, you know, when you do it right. And it's, of course, being able to form maybe even diagram a sentence and see the logic in it or the lack thereof. And a lot of historical connections and musical connections, too, for that matter. So, yeah, you get an English major. That's in a sense, it's a really catch-all kind of major. And I had a couple of, well, actually three altogether English majors over the course of the years. Just couldn't get enough of that.
Well, and you've written a lot of radio dramas as well.
Yeah, a bunch of those, and adapted some other ones, you know, some couple of Russian ones, which was fun. We had the members of the Russian UW-Russian Folk Orchestra playing live for one of those adaptation of a Pushkin story and a Chekhov story and things like that. Yeah, it was great fun.
Didn't you do something with Beowulf as well?
Yes, I did. Actually, back in 2006, we did a verbatim production of Dick Ringler's wonderful, brilliant, really earthbound translation of the original Old English. And as soon as I heard him reading it when his publication came out, I thought this would make a great audio play. And in fact, it does, and comes out on three CDs with one monster per disc. It's as if it was written that way back around, you know, 750 AD. But wonderful stuff. Yeah, members of American Players Theater participated in that production, and we had great fun with it. It's a wonderful thing to listen to. I mean, if I say so myself, because a lot of great talent poured into it.
When you came to Wisconsin Public Radio, you moved here from Gainesville, Florida. Is that right?
Yep, directly from Gainesville.
Mm-hmm. Had you spent any time in Wisconsin before?
Yes, just the part along the Mississippi River, actually. The beauties of Trempealeau and up that way.
Mm-hmm. And you were hired as a music host.
I was, and I was hired to be a music host in the evening and also then host what were then known as the live Sunday afternoon live from the Elvium. I did that for a couple of years, several years, I think.
And here you are 42 years later with all of these programs, all of these shows, all of this production work, just an incredible legacy.
Well, that's what I say, you know, why did I come to Wisconsin in the first place from Florida and in some of those farewell tour events that we had? I asked that question kind of rhetorically to the audience. And the first answer is came up because there are so many opportunities in a place like Wisconsin Public Radio and now Wisconsin Public Media to do things other than just, you know, one particular thing. Lots of diversity available. And then the other reason, of course, people are less likely to guess we came up for the weather. Really like the weather in Wisconsin. It's a little too temperate now after all these 42 years, but still very nice. Even the winters are pretty good.
Having spent some time in grad school in Central Florida, I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, there's and of course a lot of wonderful cultural enclaves in Wisconsin too, more than a lot of places.
Well, and you have availed yourself of the outdoors in Wisconsin. I think when I first got here, you were doing a lot of horseback riding.
Yeah, back in the day, doing a lot of horseback riding. Mm-hmm. And they kept moving the stable farther and farther away. So gradually I thought, okay, you know, it takes me too long to get out there. But yeah, I still enjoy horseback riding when I can do it.
And you're out on the lake sailing quite often too, aren't you?
Whenever I can. Yeah, as of a couple of days ago, I was out there.
Did you grow up sailing?
It's in the background, which is to say my grandfather was a ship captain on the Great Lakes. And my father and my brother were both in the Navy. So there was a lot of salt in our background.
There was a calling.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And kind of, it is almost literally in your blood.
Wow. Yep. So you get on the lake as soon as they put the boats out, I imagine.
Time permitting. Yeah. And I expect in the coming months it will permit.
And I have to ask you to shift gears a little bit. I've heard you pronounce Russian flawlessly, Scandinavian languages flawlessly, and of course all the usual romance languages. How did you, where did those language skills come from?
I wouldn't say flawlessly, but I did take, in middle school, I took Latin in middle school and high school, and which is a fun language to pronounce because nobody's really going to correct you, you know, after 2,000 years. And French also. And then in college, I took a lot of German and Russian and spent a lot of time in Russian conversation. And went over to Russia back in the day when it was almost as exciting as it is now. Good and not so good reasons.
Well equipped for this particular job, in from that respect.
a good starter, good starting point anyway. But, you know, as you're aware, we learn an awful lot on this job every day.
Yes, we do, constantly. And that's one of the great things about working here, is being a lifelong learner, being curious, and being able to indulge that every single day.
And getting to discover these mostly wonderful pieces of music that we can then share.
Yeah.
Recently, Joachim Raff, you know, not many people have heard of him, but he's wrote some really wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
For example,
I was sharing the Martinu symphonies this morning, which some of those are new to me. So, yes.
And the new composers and performers, a lot to discover there. So more, I would say, than, 20, 25 years ago. There's, I think, a lot more really enjoyable new music.
Well, and you've been showcasing performers and music with live Buck performances and interviews in the studio. And how many, have you kept track of how many of those you've done?
Haven't really. I mean, I've got a list going back a few years, but I don't even know exactly when we started. I'm going to guess for those live Buck performances, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, something like that.
That sounds about right.
And we've had a lot of them in the last few months. It's been great. They've just kind of accumulated that way, and it's wonderful to have them all, you know, volunteer their time to perform on WPR.
Well, and it's fun to watch what's going on behind the scenes when that happens. Like, you've got a cello quartet coming into warm-up today. The engineer has to get them mic'd up. That'll be Tyler, most likely.
There's
today.
A lot going on behind the scenes, yeah.
And then
a lot of people.
You kind of run back and forth, too.
Yeah, partly because last-minute remembering things, but also there are a lot of moving parts and things change quickly.
Right, so you're running from one studio to the live studio and getting ready for the live broadcast, and then, of course, the quiz question and
And we hope I get back to the broadcast studio before the piece ends. Almost always.
Yes, occasionally we have what's called a silence alarm, and one of the engineers will emerge and say, silence!
Yeah, and radio, even 30 seconds, which is what sets off the alarm, is way too much.
Yeah, that it is. So today is Cel Canto, and then tomorrow will be Ariela Bowrod. Have you programmed any special music for yourself for these last 2 days?
Not that I recall. I mean, I programmed it a week or so ago, I guess. Yeah, usually just kind of thinking of the moment rather than the moment.
Right. So not the Norman's top favorites, huh?
No. There's plenty to work with. There's a lot of favorites that I'm happy to share.
Well, just by happenstance, I'm looking at your first piece coming up in right after the news.
It's coincidental.
Is it? I was wondering.
I think so, yeah. The departure of a beloved brother. Yeah, I think one of his very earliest pieces that we know of. And, yeah, it may have been a brother or just a brother in the figurative sense, a good, really good friend. We're not 100% sure. Like, great music from a 20-year-old composer.
And it's music that tells a story.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, the departure and the missing of the brother and all of that. Yeah, so kind of a form of program music.
I'm curious. You've got a live performance today. Ariela Bowrod will be here. Have any of your interviews been a little tricky, a little challenging?
Not the live ones that I recall. I mean, some of the younger performers, not very many, especially recently, are not used to talking on the air for one reason or another, and you have to compensate for that. And it may sound a little more forced or strained to the radio listener, as opposed to those of us who are right in the studio. But you roll with that for the cause, you know. I mean, I have done some rather interesting interviews with professional performers and composers, a couple of those that were really strange. I asked one composer who will remain nameless the first question. He said, before I answer that, he said, what do you do if somebody swears on the air? Which, as I seem to recall, he did shortly afterward. I said, well, we don't have that problem much over here now in the Ideas Network. They might, but over here we're more civilized when it comes to that kind of thing.
I seem to remember you telling a story about Nadia Salerno Sonnenberg and being bruised all over her body and her telling you about that. Does that ring a bell?
I do remember Nadia. I don't remember the bruises right now, but she was I assume still a very active person. She was a big, very big Yankees fan too, and it may have been at the time of the World Series or something like that. And I said something offhand about the Yankees, and she took the whole box of or hat full of quiz question answers and like tossed it up in the air, but then dutifully picked them up too. So yeah, she was quite the handful. Yeah.
Do you have any particular real highlight that stands out from the interviews that you've done over the years?
Yeah, I would just say collectively, there have been so many performers, composers that have been so good and so insightful about their music and what they do that it's this kind of zeitgeist.
You've been in radio a really long time, Norman. Have you ever had any kind of hairy circumstances?
Oh, sure. We all have those, you know, usually because of the technology. Or, oh, there was a live broadcast one time back when I was hosting the what was then called the Sunday Afternoon Live from the Elvium. We're going back 40 years now almost. And there was some confusion with the performer over daylight savings time.
Uh-oh.
Live broadcast and you know, half an hour into the show or so, suddenly that performer shows up, things like that.
Have you ever been locked out of the studio?
Yes, I've been locked out of the floor one time, fortunately, in time, somebody on the staff happened to be coming by when I was banging on the door. Otherwise, who knows, it could have been more than a minute and a half of dead air. I've known it to happen to people at other stations back in the day. There was a newscaster who had about 60 seconds to clear her throat during a commercial. She went right out the back door and was locked out.
Oh!
I don't know what the show did after that, but there was no newscaster for it suddenly. There are all kinds of possibilities, you know, with all those moving parts in broadcasting.
Well, and that brings to mind some of the pranking that can happen behind the scenes on radio. And I remember you telling me a story that involved a shiny organ bench.
Yeah, I told that when I think a couple of times during the farewell tour. But essentially, yeah, that was back in Carl Schmidt's time. And there was an organist, I think it was H.B. McCarty, who would come in and play live for half an hour. And apparently at the last minute comes steaming in, didn't notice that the organ bench was particularly shiny that day, and that's because surface tension had made the water just coat it beautifully, and he sits down and realizes he's playing Bach or something that he's wicking, you know, and he's got to work with it for half an hour. If it was an electric organ, I'd be worried.
Well, and you have been known to play a few pranks over the years or just play some word games here and there?
Oh, for sure. Yes, there are certain people who are just prank vulnerable, and of course, no end of them. Some of those pranks, Peter Bryant has acknowledged.
Well, I remember you saying one time that the playlists, one time when somebody was subbing for you, you set it up so that it was either the composer name or something spelled out.
Actually, I just did it today. I gave one to Peter. I called it my alternative playlist for the midday because we will have Ariella coming in to play live. But I always do the playlist long enough ahead of time that I program them fully, and then it's easier to delete something than to plug it in later. And so today I spelled out a message to Peter in the names of the composers.
I hope it's a message fit for public consumption.
Oh, absolutely. Suitable for the day.
I can remember subbing for you one time, and you had a piece for me by Erik Satie, and I didn't really look at it very closely. I looked Satie piano, and I just didn't look it up, and I should have, because it was the Embryon des Sachets, which
sure. Desiccated embryos.
The desiccated embryos, which he got from, I think, a phrase about crustaceans or something like that, but I had to just stick with the French in that case.
Well, yeah, Satie was one of the French composers who was in a long line of French composers coming up with catchy titles for their pieces going all the way back to the early Baroque. in his case, the pieces did tend to match the title to Undesiccated Embryos. It was a satire of these trite piano various devices.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, not only are we losing you, we're losing your wife, Amanda.
Well, yes, she has played a auxiliary role since COVID, that's right, as the phone answerer for the quiz question.
And the two of you have a big celebration this month at your anniversary?
Yes, number 50.
Boy, it's a pretty stupendous month for you, retiring and 50 years.
We just thought we'd just slide it all together and be done with it.
Yeah, what a celebration. Yeah.
So, yes, lots of vibes.
And speaking of family, you've got lots of grandchildren. Do you have grandchildren time in the future?
Well, as of last count, there were 5 of them.
Wow. It just keeps expanding. And
well, we'll see. Hands, I'm happy to say.
Will you have, are you planning some visits with grandkids?
Well, there's one in progress right now. So, in fact, those little people will be gracing our studio in about an hour.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific.
Yeah, you won't hear them on the air. At least that's the plan, but you never know.
Do you have any particular other plans? I know you like to be out on the lake, and in your retirement, you keep so busy here. I can imagine.
Well, yeah, and part of the reason, actually the main reason for retiring in the first place is so I can get some of those things done which have been slighted over who knows how many years.
You like to write.
It's a compulsion. You know, it's like a cow likes to give milk. Mm. It's kind of the same sort of thing. You don't have a lot of choice.
You've written some novels over the years, wonderful novels, and your Grace Notes books have been very, very popular.
Very well read, yes.
Yes. Yeah, we've got a couple of copies in the studio which are well thumbed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Do you have a particular writing project on the horizon?
That book is not even on the horizon. It's like in my lap. And yeah, a couple of them, which I can't get into too much, but I hope to get out this year a couple of nonfiction books, actually.
Oh, terrific. Before I hand the studio over to you for the last time, I have to tell listeners how and why I am even on the air here at WPR as a host. And that's because I sat down next to you accidentally at the WPT auction. It was then Wisconsin Public Television, the live auction. You and I were both auctioneers. And it was sat down at the canteen to have a bite to eat. And I was so excited. It was Norman Gilliland. I recognized your voice. And at the time, I was volunteering doing a classical weekly show on WORT, the community station in Madison. And I asked you if you would listen and give me some pointers about how I could, you know, get a little better.
I don't remember that. But, I mean, I remember the meeting. I just don't remember the content of it. But yes, I, quote, discovered you.
It was vivid for me. And the next thing I know, I was invited to come and audition to be the Saturday afternoon classics host.
There you go, yes. And I think some years before that, I, quote, discovered Lori, too.
You've been such a resource for us. And I consider you not just having discovered me and literally changed the trajectory of my career. I was doing corporate work with my husband at the time.
That's a change.
You rescued me from that.
Happy to do that.
But you've been a mentor because I became your co-host on the midday.
For a couple of years, I guess, yeah.
Yep, and got to see you in action.
Lots of action with the midday behind the scenes. I tell you, if things go right out there in radio land, you'll never know what all is going on back behind the scenes.
But you are a master interviewer and just a warm and terrific host for our listeners. And it's just been, I feel like I've had the best apprenticeship I could have had to have this career.
Well, to be at WPR in general is not only a great apprenticeship, but a great career trajectory for all of us.
Is it ever to be able to share this terrific music and be a storyteller and everything that goes into it?
Yeah.
As a job.
Yeah, for those of us who have the compulsion, it's the best.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your retirement, Norman.
Thank you.
We've got about a minute to go before the news. We'll have headlines from NPR and from WPR. And what is in store for us. I know Ariella's coming on. I played Beethoven's Les Adieux Sonata, and then all of a sudden, halfway through, I thought, oh, no, I hope she's not going to play that for you.
No, not at all. No, she'll be playing. This will be actually starting with some Bartok, and there will be some Liszt in there, and Ravel, and one other thing. There probably be a lot of conversation, too, of one kind and another.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of an open house effect. Who knows? People coming and going, perhaps unusual or near. Usually we're hermetically sealed, but
right.
I have a hunch this midday broadcast will breathe.
And I believe there's cake afterwards for those in the live audience.
Well, I know. Speaking of pranks, I was talking to Peter Bryant this morning in passing, and I said, yeah, he can come in with a big entrance line, such as somebody told the be cake in here.
Brilliant. Well,
there will be cake.
There will be cake and there will be music. And that's all coming up after the news.